right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
My fucking back is killing me.
I'm old. The snow.
Well, it's not.
Shoveling?
You know what I'm concerned about is I got to lift. That's you know, I just need to start lifting. Mm-hmm.
Well, you lost a ton of weight in a short amount of time, right?
I did, but that doesn't help the upper body. I got great glutes.
It doesn't.
You want to touch my glutes? Touch them.
Well, no. The thing is, when you lose a ton of weight in a short amount of time, your muscles just freak out, especially your core.
Muscles?
Yeah.
Oh.
Your
is it because they're not
having a lot of like dick pain recently? Is that part of it?
I mean, the dick is a muscle.
Is it?
There we go.
That's just science.
Are we sure? Yeah, okay. Right. Check that one. Double check that. Double check that.
Everybody get on your Google machines. Is the dick a penis?
All right.
Just search dick muscle.
I'm on a bunch of painkillers. I managed to went up the upstairs to the guy. All right, take one. You get one. A couple $5 each. These fucking things cost me. All right, so I'm on some painkillers.
Oxy 80s.
Pour me a glass of wine, Carr, please. I'm going into that cave. Thank you. Yeah.
You gotta wash those painkillers down.
That's right. I see we got a lot of news stories, Carr. You were very busy today.
It was a busy day for me today. Yep, digging up news stories. Not shoveling my driveway down here in beautiful sunny Texas. Not moving to North Carolina, as I may have claimed.
What's the deal there? First of all, you're not in Texas. Don't do that. Second of all, if you were in Texas, you would be considering moving to North Carolina. What's the deal there?
No, I was just drinking a lot and watching surfing videos, and I just can't.
Feeling like lonely, homesick.
Yeah, for the waves. Yeah, so.
For the sea.
The difference between you and me is I get an idea when I'm drunk, and then when I sober up, I'm like, no, I have to do it.
That's
I'm not just
going to
have an idea and not do it.
What you want to be doing is having the idea sober and acting it out drunk.
Yeah, either way, really.
That's what I think.
I haven't poked my head outside all day. How much snow is actually out there?
I'm aware you haven't poked your head. I know that you said you were going to be cooking dinner tonight. Where's that, first of all? Second of all, I shoveled 22 inches of snow out there. Aaron, by the way, thanks for helping by leaving your mark. That was great. Like a fucking child. Anyway, so
yellow snow is heavier. I was doing you a favor. You need to work out those muscles.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, I did appreciate that you kind of created that pathway for me with the lines. They were very helpful. My back is killing me. It's a good thing we don't have a car that we have to shovel out. Man, that would be bad. Looking like 22 inches out
22?
There.
22? Golly.
22 right now? Yeah.
That's old.
I got about a solid 8 inches.
7 or 8.
Really?
Right. Who are you fooling? Before we really dive in, I do want to congratulate Paz on his show. Incredible, incredible energy. It was everything that I wanted it to be and more. Paz does a very good job of capturing the essence of late night radio. 100%.
Yes, he does.
It's very, very good.
What is he, the acolyte of Art Bell?
Yes.
He might be Art Bell.
He could be Art Bell.
The direct descendant.
he could be.
But anyway.
You want to jump into it? Let me jump into something you didn't put up on the board here. I don't know why that is, but I'll jump you into one right now. So Myanmar is having a little coup
I'm sorry. Can you pronounce that again?
Myanmar?
Is that really?
What do you say? Myanmar.
Myanmar, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
You can't say my, though. You can't say my.
It's not a philosopher, Carr. You don't have to say it that way.
Myanmar. That just sounds so dumb.
Myanmar.
Sounds like...
Your language, bro, it sounds dumb. I don't know. Here's the thing. The other thing is, I don't know what they call it.
Oh, like, right.
It's probably
true.
Not called Myanmar probably not anyway.
Myanmar. The
you
way that
call
you
it Burma?
It just sounds like
it's
so
Myanmar.
It sounds elitist.
It might be. Well, I'm not going to deny that charge, Carr. I'd never deny the charge that I'm an elitist. 100% am. Myanmar.
Meow mix.
They got a little bit of a coup. Meow mix. All right. So they. Great one.
Wow.
There's your
wow.
moose for the wow. day. All right. Listen, there's a coup, a little coup going on. Little
in
coup
Myanmar.
In Myanmar. And here's some things that you're going to need to know. So there's this woman. I'm going to really take a shot for this one, Carr. You tell me how
oh,
this sounds.
Oh, God. You got another name?
Aung San Suu Kyi.
That's definitely made up, right? I mean, the guy Aung
San Suu Kyi. What name is it made up?
I don't know.
What
well,
name is it made
point.
Up?
Yeah.
That's what name
fair
is
point.
It?
Yeah,
so
you're
she
just
was
being
75
racist.
Years old. In 2016 or so, they won an there's a Democratic Peace Party that finally actually won an election. The military accepted it, right? Mm-hmm. So they won their election. They went through 5 years, and things have only gotten worse in Myanmar. So here's another name for you. The General Ming Aung Hlaing.
I can't do this.
That
yeah, I can.
The guy took over. He pulled the strings from under the Democratic Party. Now they're chilling in full power, and we haven't seen that woman who got elected from the Democratic Party since.
Did you see that video of the lady doing aerobics?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that.
That's so good.
Technicals rolling in behind her.
Yeah, I did see that. That seemed kind of fake to me.
Yeah,
I don't know how she does that all the time.
I don't know.
Who knows?
That's her thing. She's always working out in front of coups. Like, she just rotates around the world while searching for unstable democracies with the CIA.
It's weird, though, because it was never a democracy. So the way this country worked was it was never a democracy.
And you're talking about Myanmar?
Yeah. Never a democracy. And the military. So they started having elections in the 90s or in the 80s even. But the military never accepted the elections. They just chose not to accept them. And so they were never actually able to – the elections didn't matter. And so in 2015, they won a landslide victory. And the military was like, you know what? All right. And they let the Democratic Party take over. And there was a civilian government instituted. And this civilian government is not great news either, because it's just – they're genocide deniers and – you know, they're helping the military carry out this huge genocide of all these Muslims in this country. So it's not like a good democratic government. And things only got worse. Things only got more violent outside of just the genocide. And so now military has said, you know what? Boom, state of emergency. We're stepping in. And they basically have detained the woman. We have not seen her, at least in the time of recording this Wednesday. And so that's where we're at in Myanmar. There's a couple of our, Biden, or I think it was this defense sec, was like, hey, don't do this. We're going to punish you, which just, I guess, means sanctions, which I'm sure is not going to help. But yeah, that's where we're at in Myanmar.
Myanmar, yeah. Huh.
Let's go to a live feed of Hunter Biden's reaction.
Is that the defense sec?
There you have it.
There you have it, everyone. That's the new, and that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Why did I think you were going for an age of consent joke there with the Hunter Biden and the Myanmar thing?
Oh yeah,
I'm sure that's what I was going for. Yeah, I was like, we're really doing that early into the show.
We're rapidly approaching our quota for the word Myanmar, and I'm concerned that we're not going to be able to record another hour.
Yeah, and you know, I don't, you know, the UN building isn't too far from here. The more we say it, the more trouble we stir up. Let's.
We were
topic.
About to Lincoln Project.
Oh, the diddler.
Oh.
The diddler.
Yeah. The diddler.
So we were briefly going to veer into pedophilia and pedophilia adjacent topics there with our discussion in the former Burmese Republic. So I figured this is a decent enough time to bring up the fact that the head of the Lincoln Project, or like one of the co-founders, was found to be Groming. Yeah. Some younger talent.
Mm-hmm. So I don't, the guy, what's his name here? Weaver, John Weaver. Yeah, John Weaver. He was an assistant to John McCain and John Kasich. Whoa, that's really weird.
Yep.
All Johns.
Whatever happened.
And he was sending
Johns. They could have like a barbershop trio. The three Johns.
One diddles kids, one blows them up. One doesn't have much of an opinion.
John Kasich, whatever happened to that guy?
I think he went back to whatever hole they created him in.
Ohio.
So this guy, Weaver, got connections at the American Conservative. Apparently they're conservatives over at the Lincoln Project, which I didn't realize that, but because the way that they tweet is like Yas Queen, you know what I mean?
I don't even really know if I know what the what is there. Hold on, let's back up because I don't even Queen? Really. No. The Lincoln Project.
The Lincoln Project. It's some sort of a think tank of former Republicans and current dissatisfied Republicans who don't like the Trump movement or the populism thing. I think a lot of them probably could be classed as neoconservatives, but a lot of them I just imagine are like dicks. You know what I mean? Like there's a specific political ideology called dick, and I think a lot of them are that. So that's where we're at with them. The Lincoln Project, outraged, horrified, as they state. The guy was texting a 14-year-old boy. This is one of 21 men who've now accused him. Texting a 14-year-old boy about his body. And then when he was 18, he started to try and date him. So he waited 4 years to really pull the trigger on that, as far as
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Allegedly, I'm sure, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
I'm just reading the article.
Is it a that's all we're doing here. We just read articles. We're not,
news
alleged. It's all alleged.
Can I read a tweet from the Lincoln Project from 21 June of 20?
Let's get that out there.
All right. The tweet goes as follows. Lincoln doesn't know much about K-pop stans or TikTok teens, but I welcome them to this great cause and I want to understand more. If you stan K-pop or are a teen on TikTok and want to help, or if you can explain this phenomenon to me, please contact at Lincoln Project ASAP.
Oh, God.
That's grooming.
Yeah.
That is grooming.
Well, most of the TikTok teens are girls, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that they had several people that worked there. They can't always.
I'm sure they ignored the DMs from girls.
Oh, you think this goes deeper?
Maybe.
You think this goes a lot deeper than Weaver? All right. I guess we'll find out. In June of 2018, Mr. Weaver texted his boy toy, who at this time would have been 17 years old. This is a 50-something-year-old man. Mr. Trickle Millie, that's a name I don't even quite understand. His first name is not in there.
Absolutely.
He asked him, "Are you in high school still?"
Oh, yeah, you gotta love one. You gotta love when still the addition of the word still. Like
yes.
So
okay,
brutal.
I'll pretend you said no.
Still.
Oh my God. There's like a lot that word. Dude, there is no, like, there's almost no context in which you are a 50-year-old man and allowed to say that sentence. Are you in high school still?
No.
Yeah, the still really cements it.
It's just doing absolutely, it's like doing back-breaking work in that sentence.
Still. Dude, I came in from shoveling and I wasn't as uncomfortable as I am right now.
Oh my God, man.
Shoveling piss snow.
Still, that is not good, man. That is not
Kyle Allen, who is 23 today, said that from 2016 to 2018, Mr. Weaver asked him about his height, weight, and what he was wearing, as well as whether or not he was circumcised. So,
all very pertinent stuff. Information for a career in politics.
It was on the form that I had to fill out.
I got some jeans on and. Okay, and are you circumcised?
And that's like wedged in between what are you wearing and like when did what math subject
are you circumcised? So what brand
like
is
it?
Mundane
like,
infants.
It's like something like I'm wearing jeans right now. Oh, you're wearing jeans, huh? Maybe you should, be careful. You don't zip up that circumcised dick. And he's like, actually, that's how he.
Oh, very good. Writes it down. Update spreadsheet.
God, that's the worst.
Still,
that's terrible.
Who would have thought that young Republicans would be like a hunting ground for pedophiles? Nobody could have suspected
isn't that.
Isn't that
interesting?
Nobody that listens to this show could have ever suspected the fact that the Republican Party is just a giant op for pedophilia.
Good lord. They'll be tweeting at us next, allegedly. Christ. Yeah, make sure you say that. Because that's the other thing is all these guys are lawyers.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you guys in law school still?
Hey, maybe he was just trying to find common ground. Like, instead of asking, are you Jewish too?
Oh my God. That is, yeah. So it's, okay.
Christ. Well, let's take it off of this, please. Let's go to the next one. Carr, now it's your turn to explain something to me.
Yeah, what
you've been using this phrase, coordinated financial terrorism, recently.
Yes.
Can you please go into that and back up that statement for somebody who doesn't know anything about coordinates or finances or terrorism?
Mm. Yeah, Carr, back it up.
Yeah, I'll back it up. I was just noting that the recent like GameStop stuff, like the Reddit GameStop Infinity Squeeze, as they were calling it. Yeah, it very much mimics actual just general terrorism in a way, because terrorism is typically taken up by disenfranchised or disempowered groups as a last ditch effort to affect like some kind of political change. If a group is resorting to terrorism, typically it means that they don't have the power to fight a conventional war. Like they're not equipped for that. And and I'm going to use general terms, and they're not always going to apply, but like just main street investors, internet investors, like non-hedge fund or what you would not consider traditionally smart money, quote unquote, don't have access to the tools that a lot of these hedge funds have. A lot of those are ethically very, very dubious. So they gang together and pooled their money essentially in a weird way and coordinated attacks on very weak positions in the market, thus forcing huge losses from what's traditionally considered smart money. So it's just really interesting to watch. I don't know how much longer they'll be successful for, but I mean, I think it is essentially financial terrorism, which is, and to be clear, I support it. I'm not trying to cast it in a negative light. I just think it's fascinating.
You see the thing about the global market cap?
No.
It's like $3.2 trillion worth of it was got scattered. The market like this over this.
Yeah, they were saying that $3.2 trillion were lost.
They said lost, which isn't true. I don't think it's true. I don't know. That's a weird word to use.
Right? Yeah, it is a weird word. Yeah, you would think it would change hands.
Destroyed was the word. Destroyed was the word. The tweet said. I don't really get that.
Yeah, it's weird.
So
I think
it sounds like a biased way of speaking about it.
I think so. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, there
still
may be
pretty rules.
Yeah, there may be some grains of truth to it, because I guess you could argue that those short positions being decimated, it wasn't actual ownership of the company; they were just leveraged shorts. So I don't know. I guess you could maybe say that. But in any case, really, really effective. I mean, they had everybody scared as hell last week. Now I think we're seeing quick strike disinformation campaigns. Like I think it's probably going to be difficult to coordinate stuff like this going forward, because I think they probably sunk so many disinformation agents into everywhere really quickly that it's probably going to start to, just typical infiltration, I guess, COINTELPRO type stuff. Right. I mean, Aaron, does that seem reasonable?
Absolutely. That's why I'm like wondering about this whole thing with the push for silver. I'm like, it's been what, a week now? And that's plenty of time for, these like agent provocateurs to kind of get a handle on things, find out like the nexus of where this information is coming from, which is Wall Street bets. And, and for plenty of co-opting and opportunism and, agent provocateurs to kind of step in and do their best to kind of either co-opt it to benefit them or, like you said, scatter them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think we're already seeing that. Like, for instance, the silver thing today, I was watching just like financial news most of the day. Just I had it on in the background because I was curious to see how it would go. And, and I was also seeing some people tweeting, like, for instance, a guy from Cryptoeconomy, Bitcoin Audible, he was tweeting about the fact that, and I didn't go into, I don't have Reddit installed, but that basically our Wall Street bets was saying, don't buy silver. Like, it was posts everywhere saying, don't buy silver, don't buy silver, don't buy silver. And yet, you know, silver price surged, not in a huge, huge way, but, pretty remarkably. I think you're already starting to see, like, I'm not sure that Wall Street Bets was really bought in. I think some people bought in, and I know some people, like, in-group bought silver, but I'm not sure exactly how much of that was coming from Wall Street Bets, and perhaps they're realizing, well, you know, who knows? I guess who knows what's going on is the point, but I do think that, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I would like to see, like, how they know that silver is massively over-leveraged, because that's the claim, right? Is that silver is massively over-leveraged, massively devalued. And, the way to really stick it to these hedge funders again is by treating silver as the next GameStop stock. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Part of it, and this is why, you know, certainly some of us from the Bitcoin side were tweeting about, like, that, you know, the only squeeze that you can really, really affect now, particularly that you have probably agents provocateur, et cetera, in your movement, is a Bitcoin squeeze, because you can verify the supply and you can verify the coins that you own. For instance, with the silver market, and I know that it's heavily manipulated, or at least I know people whose opinions I trust within financial sectors always kind of speak of it with a wink, wink, nod, nod, or nudge, nudge, that it is pretty heavily manipulated, probably as a way to hide inflation. But it, nonetheless, it's like, how much silver exists in the world? Where is it? There's no way for normies to know that. There's absolutely no way for you to verify it. Probably not even come close, I don't think, with any degree of certainty. And so at this point, that's why the Bitcoiners were tweeting, you know, this is the next squeeze. This is the only squeeze, because it's you can verify it. You can actually verify it and take ownership. The Bitcoin Infinity squeeze, everyone.
The Bitcoin Infinity squeeze. Yeah, that's a good one. You're trying to replace what term with that?
Hyper-Bitcoinization.
Okay, I like yours a lot more.
Yeah,
I gotta tell
you.
The other one sounds like some nerd shit.
Yeah, it does.
Definitely nerd shit.
Hey, Carr, can you comment on Janet Yellen's moves to potentially regulate Bitcoin?
Is she really?
I mean, that's she had some comment about it, because this new administration.
I assume they will. I can't imagine that they're going to just let it fly. I saw that India is moving to ban it.
Yeah.
I would assume, like, you know, the one regulatory step that they were talking about, they were threatening in December, was the disallowing people from withdrawing custodially held bitcoins in United States exchanges to their own private wallet. And I assume that's coming at some point. I mean, I'm operating in a way that I expect it tomorrow. I don't think it'll happen.
So all that would do is push peer to peer exchanges underground, right?
Yeah, I mean, they already exist. You would just go to BISC. BISQ. Yeah,
the infrastructure's already there.
Here's her two quotes on cryptocurrencies, if you want to hear them. We need to look closely at how to encourage their use for legitimate activities while curtailing their use for malign and illegal activities. Here's another quote where she pledged to work closely with the Fed and other regulators on, quote, on how to implement an effective regulatory framework for these and other fintech innovations.
The general outlook here is that they are realizing that they're very, very powerless without really taking the mask off and saying, hey, if you own Bitcoin, you go to jail for 10 years or something, you know, something extreme, treating it like a machine gun, like an automatic firearm or something.
You think they could do that? You think they have the clout to do that? I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some,
I think there are millions of normies that have no idea about OPSEC or cybersecurity.
For sure.
That would,
for sure. The problem is that we represent 300 million of 7 billion people in the world. And this thing is going to continue to exist, and it's going to continue to eat away at their power, regardless of whether U.S. citizens, brave or not brave, own or don't own.
Do you think that they would still try and slow that pace as much as possible?
Absolutely.
Or do you think
absolutely.
That,
and yeah, okay. I think you should be using mixing services to break your deterministic links to Bitcoin, and you know, storing it in ways that really reduce your exposure. The other thing is that, you know, there's really not that they need to prove that you have it, because it's the state, they could just shoot you. I mean, obviously, but they can't really prove that you own it. You can just say you lost your private keys. So I expect that there will be a lot of that
In a boating accident?
Yeah,
and such?
I mean, really. I expect there will be a lot of that gameplay of like, hey, you have to declare. My guess is that at some point they're going to say for a tax return, you have to declare your Bitcoin ownership, or your cryptocurrency ownership. And it will just be, do you want to do it? And, you know.
And yeah, no, obviously. It's very right. easy. Well, how they prove it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You know how much I hate to shill, but maybe use a explicitly designed privacy coin. Mm.
Yeah, Yellen coin.
Yellen coin.
Yep. Like HOA coin.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That's a throwback.
Well, see, the good thing about HOA coin is that every time there's a new block mined, you get a new piece of the HOA that you learn about.
Anyway.
A new letter fills out.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Now we know all that we need to know about cryptocurrency.
Your boy Cuomo, or I guess I should say our boy Cuomo, quite a thug,
oh,
huh?
Fuck.
Quite a fucking thug.
Yeah, I'm fucking mixed about it, I'll tell you. I saw that. I got a video for this one, if my fucking device would work. Open the hyperlink, you stooge.
A third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only, but we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
All right, so that's
pretty incredible. Pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, really, just a callous statement. Yeah. Now, so here's my thing. Here's what I want to, like, give some perspective.
Okay.
So everybody wants to go for the fact that he said, who cares?
Okay.
I hate to tell everybody this. That's just how New Yorkers talk.
Sure, okay, yeah. That's
fair. Now, here's the real problem. He should care a lot more because that's misreported. It's not true.
Oh,
the number that he gave is not accurate based on the numbers that the state has put out.
Okay.
So here's how this goes. His own attorney general, Letitia James, that's our attorney general, boys. She's here to protect us. So she's a piece of garbage.
Is she hot?
No. And she also never investigated all the police brutality from the marches and things like
but
that.
But she averaged a triple-double in the 2017 season, so it's...
Oh, boy. All right. So she put out an official investigation and said that the death toll was more than actually more than 50% if you include residents of nursing homes who died in hospitals. Now, he's using the wrong number. So if you go by Cuomo's number, which is people who died in hospitals versus nursing homes, then you get a number of people who died in nursing homes of 8,711. However, if you include where they would have gotten sick from the COVID and therefore then died, you add another 4,000 people to that list who died in the hospital but because of the nursing homes. Puts it at about 13,000. That's, to me, that's the thuggery.
Okay. What percentage
is
would that
he,
be?
We're talking over 50%.
Okay, yeah, wow. Jesus. Oh, my God.
So he goes from 28 to 50%.
Yeah, right. Well,
so that's why you should, not because of the callous way that he speaks, which, frankly, like, you know, I'd probably say something just as foot in mouth.
Well,
you know,
right.
Who cares? What can you do?
No, and it's not necessarily that I disagree. I mean, and at some point, you know, if you're saying this is an ongoing emergency, I get that. I totally get saying, hey, at this point, it's in the past. We have to keep our heads on us, and we have to, you know, to some degree, you have to emotionlessly pursue the best, you know, possible solution. So I almost,
that's right.
I almost,
he's not doing that.
I almost get it, but it, at the same time, you know, these people who ostensibly care so much to say something so callous in a statement like
callous.
That, it's kind of like, dude, you know, I know the New Yorker thing. It just was very, it seemed very.
It's super like, well, again, and it's extra throwaway because he's using a different number. He's using a lower number. Like, so we go, all right, it's actually 50%. Is he really going to say who cares? Or
right,
does that
right.
turn it up a notch even more?
Right.
Because to him, or well, that what he wants us to believe is that New York is below the national average, mm-hmm. which is not true. It's one of the highest in the country because of the rules that he followed
right.
that were issued from the federal government, which is his fault and the federal government's
well,
fault.
Well, wasn't part of it was he, the governor of Pennsylvania, and I think one other, were mandating that nursing homes take nursing patients even after a positive COVID test. That was like one of the bigger
issues.
That
was early on.
That was like in April. Uh-huh, yeah. Yep. And I don't know if that executive order ever sunset. I have no idea if they're still doing that, but
I don't either.
I mean, it's just to go back to the overall stats on COVID. It's absolutely fucking crazy. The average age of death is like 80. It's totally bananas. Yeah,
it's only going up.
Totally bananas.
Yeah.
It's over the life expectancy, average life.
Thanks for moving here, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Dragging those, just helping the numbers out.
Yeah. We're doing a great job. Yeah. We're doing a great job. Yeah, there's your Cuomo. That guy fucking sucks, yeah. As you know.
He's before we continue, I would just want to note that his voice drives me up the wall.
It's terrible. Yeah, I've hear that sound in my nightmares. All right, I'm going to go and we're going to do a commercial break because, again, we've got a corporate sponsor here, people. So
let's take a moment to thank our sponsor for today, which is Infinite CBT. Do you enjoy the fantasy of castration but dislike the finality of it? Then Infinite CBT is here for you. Infinite CBT comes in discreet packaging straight to your door and has a special offer for you. Right now, if you use the promo code Woods and Bull Torture at infinitecbd.com, they'll give you 15% of your first order, as well as free shipping. They offer lots of great products, including the line of razor sharp stiletto heels and my personal favorite, the 4PM Dick Flattener. Once again, promo code Woods and Bull Torture for 15% off your first order, as well as free shipping. Now, let's get back to the
Listen
show.
Listen to me. Take it easy. Take it easy. I will ruin you on your next episode if you don't take it easy. I'll fucking ruin you. I swear to God. You know, I collect all of your slurs. I keep them all. Yeah, I have them all as drops.
In the slur box.
One day I can just make a compilation episode of just you railing them out, and I'll attach your your picture, your photo ID, and address to that.
Yeah. in my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah. You'll promote it. Like, congratulations on this, Aaron. Yeah, wow, really
just
incredible.
Take it easy.
Incredible stuff.
Take it easy. All right. What's this you wrote on the board over here? Iran saber rattling. What do you got over there, Carr? Who's rattling sabers?
Looks like the Biden administration.
Oh, the Biden administration. We're not going to war. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, I actually don't think we're going to go to war with Iran, but it's just the same shit like comes up.
That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the 3 weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks until they finish a nuclear missile.
Get it done. Get it done already, people.
Jesus, can you imagine?
Finish the fucking weapon.
Project manager on that? Like, how are you?
Do you think it's the same guy? And the Ayatollah shows up to the place. He's like, dude, I've given you the job for 30 years. What are you doing? Get to work. He's like really upset. He's like really struggling. How hard could it be just to move this nuclear coil into the bomb? And the guy's like, look, we have union things. We got to make sure.
And he's the one giving the estimates. He's like, I don't know. It's like maybe this time it's 3 weeks. That's where they're getting the intel. They're getting the intel from one rogue project manager.
He falls to his knees. He's like, please tell me 2 weeks. Please.
Could be anywhere from several years to 2 weeks.
God, yeah, can you imagine how Chad North Korea must feel? Like, we got it 3 weeks in. We got
knocked it out.
We did it.
Knocked it out.
Yeah. They got that.
Hey, speaking of unions in 3 weeks,
okay. Uh-huh.
Little known fact, you know that we all get PTO, right?
Do we?
No.
Yeah. That was in the contract that we signed when I came on the show. And renegotiated our contracts. I'm pretty sure my contract said no PTO explicitly.
No, I don't remember that.
It used to say that, and then I came around and empowered the working class.
Did you empower the working class, or did you empower yourself?
Are you? I don't know what your contract says.
Are you implying that you have PTO right now? I just need you to be honest with me.
My contract says I get half a day for every episode.
A day a week?
Who agreed to this?
It doesn't matter who agreed to that because I it's signed.
So what are you saying? What are you trying to say?
Where are we going with this?
I'm saying I'm taking my PTO.
Right now? We're in the middle of an episode.
I mean, it's either now or never. Like, I'm at my max.
Never.
Don't take the PTO.
If I don't take it now, I'll lose it.
But listen, our listeners want it. We're in the middle of a podcast. Can't you just wait?
I'm telling you that if I don't take my PTO now, I'm going to keep accruing it, but it's not going to go towards my balance.
I don't understand. Why should I care? Half an hour left, and you're going to leave, is my understanding.
I need to take my PTO. It's my right.
Jesus Christ. All right, Carr, let him take his fucking get this. I don't feel like we're going to win this argument. Take your PTO. Jesus.
All right.
Get out of here.
All right. Get out of here. See you later.
Bye. Listening in.
Bye, either. Fags.
Ugh. I mean, what the hell, Carr?
I don't even know.
Where's our PTO?
I certainly don't have any. Aaron was talking about it in the contract, and I looked at my contract. It doesn't say anything about PTO. So it Jesus looks to me like Christ. We got fleeced one more time by Aaron. He moosed us again, and he gets half a day for every episode.
So what does that mean? Every 8 episodes or so, he's got to take a fucking half an episode off?
I don't know.
Actually, you know what? I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of like old times, better times even. This is kind of nice.
Let's get to it. All right, let's go back into it. Let's do it. Let's go back in. Oh, this is great. Let me go get another thing off of that board there.
Yeah, go grab another.
The caravan.
The caravan. I know. It's
I want to be a part of the caravan.
Dude, I know.
I really want to be in the caravan.
Listen, if we had funding and the ability to like send a report, like that's what I would do. If we had the money, sending a reporter to just kind of keep track of the caravan. Like is it in Guatemala? Is it in Chihuahua?
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow, those are two very far different places from one another. I hope they're in Chihuahua. They're almost done. Caravan news. Let's find the latest.
Honduran migrants on caravan hope Biden will be different from Trump administration. What a wild.
Well, I hate to tell them. it's news, not going to be good for you.
Bad news, fellas.
Oh, boy. Just let them in. Let these people in. Who fucking cares? So Border Patrol finds 77 migrants, drug smugglers in West Texas. So some of them, I don't know, probably made it already. 8 minutes ago from Yahoo News was that article you just pulled up. So they're in Honduras, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. Well, no, it just says they're Honduran.
Oh, it doesn't say they're in Honduras. You're right.
Which I didn't know that was actually the nexus or the origin.
Oh, it started in Honduras. Oh, okay. So it started in Honduras and there's 11,000 people. Come on. That sounds amazing.
Oh, wait. Here we go. I've got an even better. I've got an MSN article that says the title of the article. This is from today. Second Honduran migrant caravan of 2021 set to depart.
Where are they organizing?
I don't know. This is
great.
So, it's amazing. Guatemala.
Dude, this is one of those things that like the modern state does not have a way to deal with this because of the fact that it's incorporated itself so much into media. Like there's no way. Like in the old days, they'd be like, well, you're going to turn around or we're going to kill 11,000 of you. And that would be what happens. But now it's like, I don't know. They got to follow rules, I guess, because it'll be on the media if they try anything. This is great.
Guatemalan television network Televisiete reports that at least 3,000 migrants will plan to meet in the Honduran city of San Pedro Sula, a part of an attempt to cross into Guatemala and enter Mexico before proceeding to the southern United States border, despite calls from the Biden administration asking them to reconsider. That's an insane statement. Honduran Facebook users, another insane phrase, urged countrymen looking to cash in on the American dream to meet Sunday at the San Pedro Sula terminal, where many other caravans departed from in the past, set March Monday before sunrise. Oh my God, man, this is incredible.
God, it's so absolutely beautiful to me. It's beautiful to me. I don't know. They actually believe there's an American dream. Fuck yeah, that's awesome. I get a lot of our ancestors believed that at one time.
At least 21 Hondurans tested positive for COVID-19 and were placed under quarantine, according to Guatemala health officials. I don't even like what it just
that ain't
sounds
even
like,
bad.
It did
11,000 of them and only 22. That's pretty freaking good,
right? I mean, it looks like AI.
So they're more sanitary.
Yeah,
they're ready to work. That's let them in. I don't understand what the problem is.
Guatemalan immigration authorities told Televisiete that as many as 5,300 migrants had gone back to Honduras after they were bused to the El Florido border crossing Tuesday following days of confrontations after some of the 8,000 Honduran migrants broke past a human barricade formed by Guatemalan soldiers and police officers on a highway before their trek to the Mexican border was denied. Man, this is maybe we should be taking this a little bit more seriously. This is incredible.
It really is an incredible thing, dude. I don't know. I'm taking it very seriously. I mean, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
It's just awesome to see people be like, I'm not letting my family starve, and you guys have a lot of prosperity, and I'm willing to work. What's the problem? Because to me, the answer is, fucking bring everybody.
Yeah.
Bring them all over.
Who cares? Can you just imagine 8,000 Guatemalans, like, showing up at the border wall? Like, that's just a funny
concept.
And just
pushing through, dude.
Yeah, just pushing right through.
Pushing through.
I don't know, man.
Is what is going to happen? When are they going to start killing them? No, everybody knows. They know this. They're just walking through. You got to accept. You got to do some really dark shit if you want to stop something like this. I don't know, man. I'm into it. I'm very much into it. Seek your fortune in America, please. We need it. We need people who actually believe that there's an American dream left.
Yeah. No joke. No joke. Yeah.
Bring the Guatemalan mommies. Bring it all.
I wouldn't complain about that, that's for sure.
Dude, they finally... Dude, the more Guatemalans that come into this country, the taller on average I am, which is a great thing
for me. That's an interesting way to look at it. I like that. That's
right?
A glass
Isn't
half
that great?
Thinking right there. Actually, I don't really see a whole lot of empty glasses here. You know, 8,000 Guatemalans.
That's a free market, baby.
Few of them got to be hot, right? I mean...
I imagine a lot of them got to be hot, including the dudes. Could be a little something for everybody.
Yeah, maybe
Could
the Lincoln
be a little
Project.
Something for everybody. The Lincoln Project, suspiciously for Republicans taking the stance, bring the boys. Bring them all in.
Who will think of the children? The Lincoln Project.
We're like, wait a minute. Don't you mean the boys and the girls? And you're right.
Of course. Yes, of course. And the adults. Wait, the adults? You weren't talking about adults too?
Yeah, I guess they can come with their parents.
Still.
Good Lord. Still. What a crazy way to put it. Are you in Honduras still?
Still.
Fuck. Man. Dude, I will say, the Biden administration, I'm going to make this very easy to do call right here, right now. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration is going to get walked over by every single interest group possible.
No joke, man.
They will get walked
the only challenge that I would give you to that is that they won't be walked all over. They're encouraging it. They're like, we're open for business. Like, come pay us and do whatever you want. For example, I don't know if you've seen all of Biden's executive orders, which, whatever, like, government just sucks, so it's not like I get pissed over executive orders any more than I get pissed about anything else. Like, it's you know, it's just incredibly stupid. But I think he signed 24 so far, and all of those occurred, which is totally bonkers, right? Which is like way more than I think any other president has signed. Again, I know that it's stupid to like split hairs over government because it all sucks, and it's like almost dumb to talk about it, but. Nonetheless, I went through and I was looking through it. 11 of those executive orders are directly about COVID. Like, isn't that kind of weird to come in and just be like just trying to do everyone else's job immediately with the pen?
Is it weird? You know what's crazy is, like, if you look at the history of how the executive order's been used, like, we got away with this for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because it's there to be used. Yeah. I don't know, man. So my personal take is it is within the president's rights to issue executive orders. And so in a civil sense, I have no problem with it. And I'll tell you why. Because the courts can challenge these things if they want to. That's from a civil sense. Obviously, I have a problem with the executive order being used for a number of other reasons. But, like, it doesn't matter because you can't stop him. You know what I mean? Like, if there was a civil problem with this, like, it was against the law, then you could go, all right, well, you got to stop this. You have to stop this. But since he can just do this, it almost seems like we've gotten away with a lot less of an activist of a president or a dictator, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do you remember that quote?
Yeah, no.
Let's take a listen. Let me give you a listen to this quote of his.
Okay. So there's not going to be any delay on the tax increases?
No, well, I got to get the votes. That's why, you know, the one thing that I have this strange notion. We are a democracy. Some of my Republican friends and some of my Democratic friends even occasionally say, well, if you can't get the votes by executive order, you're going to do something. Things you can't do by executive order unless you're a dictator. We're a democracy. We need consensus.
Got to take a quick break.
Yeah, that one. Really interesting. And of course, so I got that from a Snopes article where they were like, actually, Joe Biden did not say that he was against legislating via executive order. That was the extent. And so they put a mostly false. Read that Snopes article. It's absolutely hilarious. All you got to do with Snopes articles is read the last two paragraphs, because that's where they actually admit the truth. And they try and what's good about Snopes is if you check the last paragraph, they have to summarize their point alongside telling you the whole of the information. And when you try and put their point, you juxtapose their point with the whole of the information together, you realize how stupid it is every time and how they lie every single time. Because once you put them together, you go, wait a minute, but he did say that. He actually did say, basically implied, that a dictator does things via executive order. He basically implies this. That's why everyone believes he said it, because it's basically what he said. He doesn't literally say it, of course. But so anyway, what do we got? 24?
24. 11 of them I counted were directly about COVID. I actually went and looked them up, and I read through a few of them. A lot of them are very, very short. It's also kind of mind-blowing to me, like, how, like, broad, like, almost broad and non-specific they are, not just with regards to defining what their purpose is, but also, like, who's going to do anything about it. Like sure. it'll be like a COVID one will be like, these agencies that pertaining to transportation need to take the utmost precautions within their power or something like that. And that pertains to all transportation agencies, but it's just like, who's a transportation agency? What is everything
in
their
power?
It's
really alarming, like, because it's more authoritarian than if they were to simply define all their terms.
Exactly.
That's why it is alarming.
It's very loose. One of them also was that I found, I guess, and obviously any executive order by Trump to quote unquote clean up the bureaucratic mess of the government was probably in vain, if he even wanted to clear it up. But one of the executive orders was canceling one of Trump's orders that I read through it. And with infinite asterisks here, Trump was saying that some organization, I can't remember if it was like the TSA, I don't remember who it was, had to for every new regulation they wanted to bring in, they had to find two that they needed to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And so that was an executive
maybe
order,
even more than that,
something like that. Yeah. And so Biden just canceled that, so I still thought that was pretty funny.
That was one of the few things I really liked with Trump, was because that all that means is you have to actually smarten the law up. You know what I mean? Like, well, because they're just going to replace what they remove with part of the new law. But at least it's all smartened up, I guess. I don't know. It's pretty wild, huh?
It is.
If there really is an egregious thing that Biden does that's outside of his legal ability, they will stop it. That's just because all it takes is one court. And there's a bunch of courts that want this dude's ass. But at the same time, you're going to just start to realize, a lot of people, how much power the presidency actually has. Mm-hmm. Too much, of course.
And I think my fear is that a lot of this stuff, maybe in accordance with previous precedent, isn't outright illegal. And so the courts may not be able.
No, it's not.
So I read there's a lot of these that have to do with travel, and they're bandying about the idea of either having to present a recent negative COVID test, take one at the airport, or have proof of vaccine. And like, we all kind of knew where this was going to go. Or I mean, I figure most of the people listening to this kind of figured that we knew where this was going to go, but it's manifesting itself in these executive orders. And that in itself is probably not illegal, like outright, because it's interstate commerce type shit. And, and so I don't know. Nonetheless,
for all of our civil libertarians listening, that's your problem. That's one of those things you got to find going to law school and figure out a way to stop this if that's your gig. We all go, this is egregious for a bunch of other reasons. To me, this shit is all really bad because of the avenues that it opens up. Because, it, like you said, it's so vague. He could just do whatever he really wants to.
Right.
Very alarming.
Yeah, and it's like, alarming. It's like, I authorize this agency to do whatever is legal to do, to accomplish X vague goal, and then... they, well, let's just say they
everybody
do
has to get in the bag.
Everybody's got executive order. Everybody,
in bag.
Everybody, quick, in the bag.
Looking around, like, what bag? I got it right here. He flaps it out. That thing stinks. Get in the bag.
The final executive order, just everybody in the fucking bag.
He gets to executive order 69, and that's the one we've all been waiting for.
The bag. We were all looking for FEMA camps. We didn't know how bad it was actually going to be.
The bag camp. Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah, it's going to get real weird if they allow this to continue, his legislativeness. And you know what's funny is you cannot anywhere find a lib to say something about this.
I know.
Not one of them. Like, I haven't even asked any of them in real life because it's futile. So I'm just looking on the internet to find some people who are giving it to me a good understanding as to why it's okay that Biden is allowed to act in this way. I'm talking about libs. I'm not talking about progs.
No.
Progs don't want to follow any law whatsoever. They just kind of want to do whatever they want, which is okay, fine. That's why they're just an enemy. But the libs always have this, like, well, maybe we could do this by the books, you know. Where are the books?
No, man, it's certainly wild. I feel that a lot of people are almost the exact same way about Biden as they are about the pandemic in general at this point, where it's like,
right,
to admit much about Biden is to admit a lot about everything, and it's like it's better to just kind of sit in silence and hopefully things pass over without too much problem.
Man, that's interesting. That's like the power of conspiracy theories.
What's that?
That's very interesting. That, like some, there's a weight, you know, on one side you go, all right, what is the value of finally acknowledging this? You know, this is the whole, like, they live scenario.
Sure.
Do you put the glasses on or do you just let the guy keep beating the shit out of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where we're at, which is how conspiracy theories usually go, like, to their conclusion, where they become fact and then you have to acknowledge everything going on, or they just get mind wiped from people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Your difference between your Epsteins and your Stephen Paddocks, basically.
And I genuinely wonder, particularly with the pandemic, like, I wonder, obviously these travel restrictions are, you know, you can say that the powers that be find all sorts of use and utility in these things, but at the same time, they have to be looking at their, like, if you think about the United States, and maybe this is a naive way to look at it, but in some sense, if you look at the United States as a company and they have their tax, you know, their slave farm, and their slave farm is becoming way less productive than slave farms. You know, other slave farms are catching up because our slave farm is damaging itself. You know, you got to wonder how useful is some of this stuff still? And did the dog just kind of get off the leash? And now you have a bunch of scared citizens who don't really want to acknowledge the fact that the pandemic has largely been, you know, more or less not really anything that we probably should have freaked out about a whole lot to begin with. And you just wonder, have they hamstrung themselves in some sense? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking
at least on a federal level.
The weird thing about the federal system is that the bad guys at the time get to remain the bad guys at the time. And, you know, nobody like ever goes any further than that. Like, wait, maybe the system is flawed. Just, I guess, because there's a dissipation of interests. Like, everybody gets to hate Trump, but now Trump's gone, and so you can hate the Patriot Party. that'll be your bad guy who has all the woes. You can't ever, like, focus on one guy to blame for shit.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they are losing power, not because they're losing power to anything internally. They're losing power internationally because they've just hamstrung their own economy at this point.
And they have
terrified citizens. You know, or a lot of the citizens are terrified. Like, there is something, you know, I mean, I think that was kind of the point Hans Hermann Hoppe made in Democracy of the God That Failed, that of why a monarchy would be preferable is that they want to have something to pass down to their kids, so they try to keep it in good shape. Well, you're almost seeing that manifest itself because we're run by the same people basically all the time, and now they're kneecapping themselves, and you just wonder, how long are you guys going to continue to diminish your own power internationally because you are terrorizing your citizens at home? I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just a naive way of looking at it, but
I don't know, because then you got the state governments doing their own things, right?
And yeah,
then
it's a complicated.
Federal governments doing their own things. Yeah, I don't know, because when the federal government can just print as much. See, that's the other factor now, right? Is they just keep printing? They just keep printing. He just said the other day he's going to put $4 trillion in.
It's crazy. Crazy, man.
It's pretty baller.
And I guess we have another stimulus check coming.
We're getting a stimmy, baby, no doubt. We are. Yeah. Are we getting a stimmy now? Do you know? Do you think? It would be great if you could just say how much you want your stimmy to be.
Just enter it in. I don't know. See what she said. I think I was seeing 1,200 or 1,400.
I'm still not going to get it. Yeah, I'm still not going to get it. I guarantee it.
Why not?
Because I'm not old enough. And that's apparently a real thing that people under the age of 25. That people under the age of 25 don't need money. I was telling you this last time. I'm telling you, I really think. Nope, that's why I didn't get it. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's wild, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Maybe I'll send you a few bucks. Bad. I'll send you a few
stimmy
bucks.
Hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you send me a why don't you send me a few stimmy bucks in cryptocurrency?
I can do that.
That'll do me way better.
Okay. Deal.
Yeah, that'll be
great. I tell you what, here's what I'll do. Here's what I'll do. I will when I get my stimmy check, if I get my stimmy check, I'll send you some Bitcoin and I'll publish the transaction hash for everyone to see that I am a generous God.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing, actually. That'd be very great of you. No, that would be pretty cool. I've been stacking that anyway. I'm trying to, I'm poor as shit. I've always been poor as shit. This is not a surprise to anybody. I got a mattress. I finally bought a mattress, which is great.
So you're moving out. You're moving out from me and Aaron?
I'm just putting it in my room. So you know the room I record Into the Cave in? I'm just putting that in my room over there. You and Aaron can share the ratty queen bed with the ratty queen on it. And you can deal with that.
Speaking of which, I've never been in there. Obviously, as you know, you don't allow me in there. But it seems as though tensions have eased because there was murmurings that you were going to invite me into the cave at some point here.
Well, we got some good news, actually. Okay. I know, you know, I'm tapping my nose here. I know a couple of people in the, in the police department, right? Uh-huh. And they recently were telling me about, hey, you're an anarchist, right? I was talking a couple of blues, you know? And I went, yeah, I am. And they were like, well, let's say you want to make a little bit of money. And I cocked my head to the side and I said, how could that be done, officer? And he said, well, why don't you bring me in to that crack house you're in? No problems, no questions asked, no problems to be had. And I'm going to show you this document about how my police department handles anarchists, and why don't you give me some tips? And so what we're going to do, Carr, for my episode that's coming up, is we're going to help the police department figure out, in the best way possible, how they can deal with this upsurge of anarchists that are ruining our city.
Okay.
Got a couple of $100 out of the deal, and maybe he'll throw one of us a PBA card, you know, if you get caught speeding on your... on your skis.
On my
flash
skis.
That. Yeah. Flash that. And
hey,
let
sorry,
go, hey.
Officer. Yeah.
I know your boss.
Hey, bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, something like that. So I'm looking forward to that. Did you get the document he sent? I sent it to you.
Yeah, got it.
A lot of stuff in there. Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff in there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I know the listeners are going to like this one because, man, you read through it and the way that they speak about anarchists. And what's funny is they're not speaking about us. You know, like forever, no matter whether or not we call ourselves anarchists, the world will never recognize us that way, you know?
Right.
It's just going to be how it is. So we're libertarians is what they're going to call us. So that's fine. There is the term libertarian used twice in the article, but it has to do with libertarian socialists. So, so we're all good, man. See, that's the thing is they, even though we're anarchists, they don't view us that way, the police. I don't know what that says about us other than that. I'm going to keep stacking Bitcoin.
Hell yeah.
So there you go.
Hell yeah.
We got any more? We got another story here? You want to hear some crazy, scary Facebook stuff?
Kinda.
All right. Let's take you over to the Facebook. This is all right. So everybody, what second do I start this on? So here's the thing. How do you feel about James O'Keefe and Project Veritas? Like, how do you feel about them?
It's funny because I actually know very, very little about them. Everything I've seen seems kind of above board. I mean, it seems like he seems kind of like a bulldog, goes out and gets the story. I have to tell you that I don't... there are certain like investigative reporters that I very much have an immediate connection with, like that I feel good, like warm feelings about. And I don't get that with him. I don't get bad feelings. I just don't connect with him. Like maybe with perhaps Ben Swan or Luke Radowski or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I more or less feel the same way. I've seen enough Project Veritas videos where the editing is quite tricky, you know, quite tricky editing, not saying that they're, you know, lying about anything they, put out, but that perhaps more context is there than what they show us. But I don't know. I can't make any big statements here. Anyway, let's listen. I will narrate who is speaking because you're not going to recognize these voices other than Zucks. But let's hear how Facebook has been doing with the new administration.
First day, President Biden already issued a number of executive orders on areas that we as a company really care quite deeply about.
But there has been quite a lot.
This is Nick Clegg, who's the head of the global affairs for Facebook.
Well, from the president of Mexico to Alexander Navalny in Russia, and Chancellor Angela Merkel, and others saying, well, this shows that private companies have got too much power and they should be only making these decisions in a way that is framed by democratically agreed rules. We agree with that. We agree with that. Mark, I've been very clear about that, that ideally we wouldn't be taking these decisions on our own. We would be taking these decisions in line with and in conformity with democratically agreed rules and principles. And at the moment, those democratically democratically agreed rules don't exist. We still have to take decisions in real time.
We have a system that...
Here's the VP of Integrity.
...on threads... in cases where our systems are detecting that there may be a thread that has hate speech or violence sort of in the comments. These are all things we've built over the past 3-4 years as part of our investments into the integrity space or efforts to protect elections. I wonder...
Here's the civil rights and deputy general counselor.
A police officer understand what it feels like to be a young black man who's stopped and searched and arrested by the police. And I want every major decision to run through a civil rights lens.
I think that these were all important and positive steps. And I am looking forward to opportunities where Facebook is going to be able to work together with this new administration on some of their top priorities, starting with the COVID response.
Okay, there you go. Facebook is going to save us from COVID.
Wow. Well, some at least.
God, isn't it weird when I don't know what you call Facebook social media and the stress the media part there. How is he going to help?
Yeah.
What is he going to put? The only way he could help is by intruding on our social media experience, which is just not something I want.
How about Fleets? Does that help? Does this help?
Fleets. Oh, it's Jack. Hey, guys, I have a cough today. And that's it. And he puts the fleet away. Fuck that.
Yeah. No, it's wild. I mean, I think what they're probably hinting at is, partially, you know, they're obviously talking about a lot of things very broadly there. But I think that what they're hinting at is that they're getting really, really frustrated, to be honest, with minorities not getting the vaccine.
Oh, they really are.
They're getting very frustrated
really
with that.
Are.
And it's so funny.
Just be honest.
It's
yep.
So funny to listen to them dance around it on the news, like where they're, mm-hmm. you know, and at least with like with the black community, they don't have to dance around it as much because it's like they basically have to be like come out and be like, yeah, we have just totally fucked you guys like for a really long time.
Forever.
We need you to take this vaccine. Whereas with others, it's kind of like a little bit more of a dance. But yeah, I mean, really I assume trying to influence public opinion through social media.
Right. That's it. And it's going to be, and it's not going to be public opinion. It's going to be the government's opinion.
Exactly. And you know what the funniest thing is, like, 3 months ago, we were all worried about them forcing us to get vaccines. I'm still worried about that, frankly. But at the same time, looking at the way that they've been rolling it out, they can barely get anybody vaccinated to begin with because they're so damn incompetent. So it's like it's almost like we got saved by the government's incompetence on this one because they can't even manage to roll out a fucking vaccine.
Speaking of incompetence, try this.
There are many people who feel, you know, if you really want to have an extra little bit of protection, maybe I should put 2 masks on. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's no data that indicates that that is going to make a difference. And that's the reason why the CDC has not changed the recommendation.
That's it. That's it, baby. He's referencing the data finally.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy.
And the fact that there is no data.
why is he, how is he such he a sucks. Media, he's he such sucks. A media darling. Everybody yeah. seems to love that
Italian-American guy. Italian-American charm. Yeah. I think that's all is that it comes because down to.
It just,
that accent. They love him.
It, maybe it's because before I even saw him speak, I had read his stuff. And like, cause I didn't really mm-hmm. know, I know that he has a long history in this stuff, but I really had to catch up. And it's funny because I even had like through my civil engineering curriculum, I had to take like public health stuff falls somewhat under civil engineering too, particularly a mm-hmm. lot of the statistical analysis and things like that. And I had no idea who this guy was, even though he yeah. was apparently very prominent in a lot of these fucked up situations over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Hey,
understand.
Speaking of which, are the mask thing. But before you get onto that, just so I have a frame, do you have enough time where you can, you know, maybe read off the summary that guy made for you about the vaccine?
Oh shit! Here, let me.
Because it reminded me because of AIDS. You know what I mean? This guy, Fauci's all about. You know, he's all about AIDS. You know.
Yeah.
If you got that, maybe pull that thing up because this seems like a pretty relevant time for that.
Let me see.
Two masks.
Take it for a second.
I used to say, if you don't want to get a girl pregnant, why don't you wear two condoms?
Oh my god.
And anybody who's used even one condom can tell you, it's bad enough. It's not fun. It doesn't. You know, they are effective, but they're effective enough. So then you're going to put on a second condom. You know what's going to happen? You're not going to feel anything. It's going to be twice as hard for your penis to breathe. And it's still going to do the same thing one does. Which, for all intents and purposes, in the case of the mask, is very little to nothing. So not that I need to tell any of our listeners here. But if I see any of you guys out there, you know, with your two masks on, I'm really going to be cheesed with you. Don't put the double mask on, please.
Okay, so I just dug up the email. It's pretty long, but he sums it up at the end, so I might just do the TLDR. But the first I had emailed him because I was astonished that people may remember a year ago or when the COVID stuff was going off, I corresponded a lot with @StatelessMed, who's a mm-hmm. doctor. I don't know how much he discloses, so I won't go any further, but he's a doctor. And so, like, you know, he would be like, hey, you got this right or you got this wrong and stuff like that. He helped me out a lot in the early days. So I emailed him and I'm not even reading my email, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, so this is his first paragraph. He goes, I got off the hell site a year ago, so I don't know Stateless Med, and I'm over in Switzerland, so there may be some time zone issues. I think I had invited him or wanted to see if he wanted to come on with Stateless Med, but it's funny that I just like went like, oh, you're a doctor, do you know this doctor? And there's like probably like 50 million doctors in the world. Anyway.
Like, why can we vote? Why are we allowed to vote?
I have no idea. He goes, however, part of the process of becoming a scientist is they beat the humanity out of you through many years of quote-unquote peer review by people that aren't your peers and don't review your work. So I'm not confident I'd be an enjoyable guest. People like Neil deGrasse Tyson just do a lot of coke in order to fake being a real person. That's great. Okay, so I'm gonna read
that's the... just now you could just think about academia is that too. It's the same thing. It's the same idea. Now you know.
Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, it looks like fuck. I just did not read through I need to read this email. But in any case, he says at the end, to summarize, one, the viral vector for the mRNA virus is probably AIDS in some of the versions. Two, the mRNA they put in it can't be evaluated by the public. Three, mRNA can really fuck your shit up in subtle but devastating ways. Four, it's intended to create an immune response towards your own cells. Five, we would have no way to tell if that's all it did. Years of writing scientific texts hasn't helped me to write content for actual human beings, so if that was too long or incoherent, let me know.
We'll do it. We got to do an in-depth on that because that's fascinating.
Yeah, really I'll read through amazing. This, and I'm not going to say his name, but you know who you are. Sorry, I dropped the ball. I did not read through this, but appreciate so much the email.
We'll get to it. We will get to it because I want to hear more about that because that's what I've always been wondering is the mRNA factor. If you're not, you know, if you're an anti-vaxxer, that's one thing. But to be specifically anti this vax is not only do you have, well, I don't like vaccines generally, you have specifically, this is some new shit. You know, this is like,
that's
the on top part is beyond mm-hmm. that. I already don't trust it. This is new too.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's super, super weird. I mean, like the potential long-term effects. Now, you could also say that there's potential long-term effects from contracting COVID, and there's certainly data to support that. I mean, but you can have long-term effects from the flu and stuff like that too. So I don't know how different it really is from anything that's more or less standard in the human experience. But at any rate, yeah, I'll read through that and maybe I'll send him an email back if I got any questions. Jeez. And I could try to summarize his
maybe we could get him and Fauci on. I'll send Fauci a call.
Yeah, send Fauci.
Hey, Fauci. Fauci. Get on the show.
Yeah. I was devastated when Fauci. I found out that he was 5'7". That really sucked. I was
no way. He's taller than me? Jeez.
Or 5'8", yeah.
Jeez. See? That's a problem.
Oh, I had written down on our board that my idea for our first Patreon episode would be just 15 minutes of us arguing about what our first Patreon episode
should. That's not a bad idea. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm stumped as to Patreon content because there's no standard on this show. We just put out whatever we feel. Like one week we got the board up, the next week we're just cackling at one another for an hour. There's no order, there's no format. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do for Patreon. And I, you know, frankly, don't want them to do much more work, you know? So it's got to be something that I'm already good at doing. You know, I don't want to why don't you make more game shows? It's like, buddy, it takes hours to do that. I'm willing to do it, but we can't be doing that every week, you know?
I think what we could do is just use it as an overflow. Like for instance, previously we would like sometimes have three bonus episodes come out in a week, just because we had the content. So maybe we could just treat it as an overflow and then release them later. Like put it up a Patreon exclusive for like a month or something like that, and then just release it onto our feed.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, I'm thinking if it's just okay for it to be all bonus episodes of indeterminate time, I'm great with that. But I don't even, I don't know if that's what we're going to do, I want to record with this guy and we don't really have a slot for it on my show or on TLE, throw it on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. I'd do that. Catch-all for that. Dude, you know what the other thing is? Other thing that we could do is, I'm generally available throughout the day for, you know, as long as I get it in the schedule reasonably early. If something like breaks or something like that and you're around, I know Aaron works like weird days or whatever, but if we were all around or just you and me around, we could like cover news events like kind of live like initially and then just put them up on the Patreon, even if it's like 5 minutes or something like that, in our first thoughts. That'd be fun.
I'm not against that either. I'm not. I like that. Like, as long as I don't really have to edit it, I'm fine. Yeah. You know, just
pop it up.
Yeah. Or if I do have to edit it, then it has to be like, here, this is a big one, you know, so people are happy with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with doing that. Yeah. I'm happy to do that. Somebody was like, why don't you make an album of music? They messaged me and I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm here thinking to myself, what are you? You're nuts. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
What does that even mean?
Knew how to do any of it.
Like, what are you saying? Like these, our listeners think we're like way more capable than we are, which is definitely our fault. So sorry for confusing any of you guys. But yeah, so that's what I think. I think I'm willing to do, bonus episodes and stuff because I get weird ideas throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like we meet enough people on the internet who are like, oh, you're an expert on this. Why don't you come on the show and just talk about that for an hour and a half? And people would be like, yeah, awesome. Of course. I'm down with that.
That'd be cool.
All right. Do a little, maybe get someone who can give us some grilling advice, tips like that stuff. An episode. Oh, you know what I do want to do? Because this is, maybe we can do these for my show, but that's just my content. We could also do Patreon. Let's start reviewing shit, you know? Yes. Like, I want us to all buy the same box of, either candies or jelly bellies, you know, the ones that taste good and awful. Mm-hmm. And we do a tasting of those on the air. And some are gagging. Like shit like that for Patreon, people seem to love that. It's like, well, why don't you torture yourselves for my money? That's great. People love that stuff. So I'm into that too. You know, we always had the idea on Friends Against Government. We never got to it where we're going to both chow down on a Carolina Reaper at the same time and go through an episode like that. Maybe that should be our first episode. What do you think?
Oh, man. Okay.
How good would that be?
That would be good.
If we just do a selection of topics that aren't timely, you know, they're just sort of like, hey, what do you think about Bigfoot? But we're high on capsaicin. It would be pretty interesting.
That would be interesting. Maybe we start with a jalapeno. What if we start with like a jalapeno?
Pino?
And then we move our
way. Is a pino hot to you?
I mean, if you bite it raw, I mean, yeah, it's pretty hot. I mean, I eat a lot of jalapenos.
Go a little hotter than that.
Okay.
We'll go a little hotter than that. We'll do Scotch bonnet. We'll start with like a Scotch bonnet or something like that. And of course, no swallowing because we don't get paid for the toilet trip.
Okay.
The day after.
So chew it up, spit it out.
But we'll chew it up fully. I'll take a photo of it if anybody wants to call me on it. And we'll torture ourselves for an hour. That seems like a good first Patreon episode. Is struggle through the Peppercast. Something like that. It would be a really interesting experiment to start with, like, all right, let's start with 3 jalapenos. And then we'll do it again, like, a month later, and we'll be like, all right, now we got 2 Scotch bonnets. And then we'll do it a month later, and we go, all right, we got, you know, 2 habaneros. You know, we just keep upping it.
So what you're saying is an experiment over the course of 6 months where we purposely try to build up our tolerance to capsaicin.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Dude, that would be actually pretty cool.
That could work. See, Patreon for series as well, I'm really into.
Okay.
I've always been saying that. Okay, good. Write that down. We torture ourselves with pepper.
Torture ourselves, Patreon.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, good stuff. I love it.
Cool. I don't know
great.
If we...
I think that was our 15 minutes to have to settle that. And cool. Aaron did not have a say, and that's the best way I like that to
can't
happen.
Complain. Can't complain.
Cannot complain.
What a beautiful Wednesday.
God, he's got to take more personal time off.
Have you been on anybody else's shows this last week?
I have. I just yesterday, sorry, I just on Sunday went on Punk Rock Libertarians.
Oh, yes,
which is
I did
pretty
see
dope.
That. Cool. What you guys talking about?
You know, they live stream too, man, which could be something we possibly get into later at a later date anyway.
Yeah,
we went through a couple of topics of what was going on, did a little Myanmar. Did a bunch of silver squeeze, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then I pulled up this thing, which I am gonna, you can go listen to the episode more about it. But so not to take up too much time here, but I discovered that some intrepid creator at the New York Times by the name of Kevin Quealy. Thank you, Kevin, created the complete list of Trump's Twitter insults from the years 2015 to the years 2021.
Amazing.
And it's in alphabetical order. So give me a name of somebody who you remember who Trump might have insulted, Carr. Well, just to give you a taste of this. Just a taste.
Okay. What's the dude from Waco, that congressman that I really hate? Schiff? No, not
Schiff.
Chuck Schumer.
Oh, Schumer.
Yeah.
Schumer. Chucky Schumer.
So you can search this? It's like a database?
Yeah, all you got to do is search Chuck Schumer, and look what I got right here. So, Jesus, he's called him Crying Schumer about 150 times.
Oh, that's right, because he did cry that one time, right?
Jesus. All right, so here we go. Crying Chuck, pathetic. Crying Chuck Schumer, incompetent. See, they list. So what's amazing about this is you search person's name and they give you the blurb of the specific insult. And then if you go and mouse over the specific insult, it gives you the full tweet in context. Incredible system.
That's
weak
a great
on
resource.
Crime. Did nothing about North Korea. High tax Schumer who suffered a humiliating defeat. Sold John McCain a bill of goods. So indignant, total hypocrite, clown. Those are just some of the things Donald Trump on Twitter referred to Chuck Schumer as.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it is amazing. It's on the New York Times. It's called The Complete List of Trump's Twitter Insults 2015 to 2021. I want to go deeper into this. Like maybe we'll go through these every week. We'll go, all right, new name. Ba-ba.
Yeah.
Justin Amash is on there, dude, and some of the insults are fucking hilarious. They're amazing things. It's great. He insults the FBI. He insults different news organizations, the Associated Press, Michael Avenatti. Dude, it's great stuff. It's really amazing stuff.
Man.
Called John Bolton a washed-up creepster. You know what I mean? Like, he's the best at this, and so I'm really glad... I'm really glad that we got
this. This is amazing. I got this pulled up. This
amazing.
Is absolutely amazing. This
it's
is like
really,
the only
it's
good
a real
thing.
Work of art.
Yeah. Steve, yeah, I got Steve Bannon. Sloppy Steve cried when he got fired. Begged for his job. has been dumped like a dog by almost everyone. Sloppy. Sloppy Steve.
Glenn Beck, dumb as a rock, irrelevant. Mental basket case, always seems to be crying, sad, wacko, failing, crying, lost soul.
A memo by Adam Schiff. All it says is, a very big lie.
And I did this when I read on Punk Rock Libertarians, but I always got to get through it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, quote, dumb as a rock, AOC. Dude, it's incredible shit. It's
Diane,
incredible shit.
I'm sorry, I know we're dragging this out, but sneaky Diane finds
the sneaky Diane. Sneaky Diane. Dude. Oh, yeah, everybody, go check this website out. And I want to integrate this into our show without stepping too much on what I did on PRL.
God, man.
But yeah, check this website out. We'll get to more of these in time. It's just so good. Yeah, and you can't stop looking at it either.
I know.
Dude, the breadth of his insults are it's and they're new for each person.
I know, man. And the funny really thing, great. The funny thing is that it's like it's not just individuals. Like it's like organizations like the O'Reilly Factor.
He insulted the Green New Deal. Like that's on there. Like it's insults. It's anything that was an insult. Fox News, how many times he insulted them? Everyone.
Opponents of Civil War memorials. So foolish.
Forbes. Failing, failed magazine. Circulation way down. He's a genius, dude. All right, let's get out of here. Further plugs? Do we have anything?
I've been on three shows, I think, or maybe two.
Oh, my
three.
God.
Like I went on with Typo's dad on the Unbeaten Path talking Bitcoin. I also talked Bitcoin with and other stuff with on Biting the Bullet. I can't remember if I plugged that, but I was on there like 2 weeks ago or last week. And then Liberty Lockdown with Clint. That was a fun show. We actually got into like just broing out. It was actually a lot of fun. Everybody, I highly recommend. That was a if you want the more personal side of Car.
Mm-hmm. Spectacular performance. Yeah. Personal car. He's always crying.
Yeah, crying car.
I wanted to get this list hooked up to an AI and then just have the AI start spitting out new Trump insults for people.
We'll
get to that one day. We'll get to that one day. It's going to be good. All right. I'm going to get two hands on the shovel here.
All right, man. Yep. Well, everybody listening, until next week, keep two hands on the go.
Squaw.